today's podcast.
Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, this is Mark. Congratulations, you have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangibound Network? That's right. Go check out TangiboundNetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains. You can do it. You can do it. Check it out. TangiboundNetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time. Check it out.
I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life. On this week's episode, Josh Peterson and I discuss the big Memorial Day weekend for moviegoers as Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Men Tell No Tales hits the big screen. But does this adventure for Captain Jack Sparrow turn out to be a good one for audiences? We'll also talk about one of the possible breakout hits of the summer movie season, the upcoming battles in the Game of Thrones saga, why the delay for Red Dead Redemption 2 is sitting okay with gamers, and the profound influence on pop culture only the Star Wars universe has as it reaches its 40th anniversary. Plus, we play a clip from the latest Super BS Gamescast from Humanica Media, and another great track from Hyperschmidt. Yo-ho-ho, it's a pirate ship full of podcasting greatness as we reach our next stop.
I but we're loved by our mommies and dads, drink up me hearties, yo-ho!
The PCC Multiverse.
Don't be alarmed, the quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry, that quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with another episode of the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you being part of the broadcast here today. And every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Podcast Radio Network, or any one of our numerous array of downloadable options. And if you miss our show for any reason on the Podcast Radio Network, and that's okay if you can, because we've got lots of other options if you want to download the show at any time. You've got iTunes, TuneIn, Overcast.fm, Google Play, Gunna Geek Network, Stitcher Radio, Podcast.com, Mixcloud, the ESO Network, the Tangibound Network, and our newest and latest affiliate, the ACE Podcast Network. We want to give a big shout out to them. We truly appreciate being part of their network, and everyone else, we definitely truly appreciate being a part of their great networks as well. And you're just, like I said, if you want to catch us on any one of those networks, of those listening forums, those downloadable options, all you have to do is type in Pop Culture Cosmos and we pop right up. The PCC Multiverse and the Pop Culture Cosmos show all get uploaded to that one great channel on each of those options. And we try very hard on each and every episode to add a bonus podcast as well. Well, as always, I'm here with my good friend, the man, the myth, the legend, the owner and operator and chief mastermind behind Humanica Media is Josh Peterson. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. I just got back from seeing the old Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, well, I know you're going to share some thoughts on the latest adventure for, well, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes. Do you want me to share them now?
Well, actually, this leads me to on our first topic, but we're going to talk about, because it's going to be a great show today. We got a lot of things to cover indeed, but obviously the main thing that we're going to talk about as far as our initial topic on today's show has got to be the Memorial Day weekend, because it is one of the biggest movie weekends of the year. Extra day as far as for a lot of people to go out and catch a great movie. We've still got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 rolling strong. One of Josh's favorites, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, still out there in theaters. Alien Covenant still, you know, it's still, you know, going strong in theaters as well. And if you want to catch a review of Alien Covenant, head on over to our website, popculturecosmos.wordpress.com, and you will get Josh's thoughts on that film indeed. But there's also the two main entrants for this weekend, which includes Baywatch, which is one of my big surprises for the summer season. I really think it's going to do well. How well, I'm not so sure, because I think it should have been a PG-13 movie as opposed to going for that R rating. I think maybe it could have gotten even more success than I think it's going to get. But I still think it's going to do very, very well because of The Rock and the kind of quirky, funny nature, even though it's getting not very good reviews all over the place. I think people are going to just go ahead and bypass those reviews for once and go and check out this film in pretty good numbers. And I think it's really going to surprise a lot of people at the box office. But there's also the main event that's coming out this weekend, and that is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. And Josh, you've actually already seen the film. What are your thoughts on Pirates of the Caribbean number 5?
Ooh, it's kind of a letdown. I really wanted to like this movie, and it really let me down. Because I don't know, Jack Sparrow has just, he stopped being a character, and now he's just a plot device. They don't use him.
But instead of everybody talks about him, but he's always off camera. Is that it?
Well, he's on camera. Everyone talks about him. The story is like Captain Salazar wants to kill Jack Sparrow, but he doesn't serve any purpose in the movie besides being Jack Sparrow. There's nothing, I don't know, like I came out of the movie theater really just hating him because he didn't do anything. It's like in X-Men Apocalypse, they had all these characters just standing by while the fight was happening. And that's kind of, Jack Sparrow was just a guy they threw in there to move the plot forward and do that thing with his hands, you know, that he always does.
Well, and that's a little bit troubling indeed, because obviously this is supposed to lead into the final adventure. Now, did it feel like it was a climactic ending, or do you think there's still a little bit more left in the tank, maybe either an additional film or another two additional films to try and set up a finale trilogy, so to speak?
That's the thing. See, I liked the first three movies. I know people disliked the second two, but I liked them a lot, and because it was this idea of, hey, we're these pirates. There's still this supernatural element to, but where they're pirates trying to survive in an era where the pirates are being, you know, they're dying out. The time of the pirates has come, and it's they were on their way out, and so it felt like everyone had. There's a lot at stake there. There's consequences for their actions. They were trying to survive, and in these new movies, like you had the last one was on Stranger Tides. They're just searching. It's become a pirate version of Indiana Jones. They're just looking for mythical objects. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's fun to look at for a while, but what are these characters motivated by? Like, what's at stake here? There's not really, they kind of, you know, they closed off some stories. They closed off the Turner story and they closed off the Barbossa story, but you know, there's not really like, what's at stake? What's the bigger picture? There's no bigger picture. It's just like, hey, this is Jack Sparrow doing something. We're going to throw this side story in with Will Turner's son and this other girl. And, you know, it's not going to really mean anything in the end. That's kind of how I came out of the movie feeling.
Well, that's one thing I want to ask you, because they have seemingly tried to recreate, since Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom have kind of, I don't want to say left it entirely, but they've kind of distanced themselves, or the movies for that matter as well, have distanced themselves from those two characters. they've tried to recapture that in Stranger Tides and this film as well. First of all, did you care about the younger, like you said, Will Turner's son and the girl in the movie? Did you care about them as a couple or whatnot? Did they really create that kind of chemistry that Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley did, obviously so famously in the first, two Pirates of the Caribbeans are concerned? Or do you think that just been played out and they're just trying to go for the same thing over and over? Because the last Stranger Tides, really one of the main problems I had was those two characters that they had tried to force into that type of love story was really just a missed opportunity and among other things that was wrong with the movie for me. But what are your thoughts on that, exactly trying to add in those extra stories outside of having Jack Sparrow in the film?
See, that's another thing too. Like it was good and I was into those characters. I liked them. They had, they kind of did have that Will Turner, Elizabeth Swann dynamic for them. But anytime there is a serious moment between them, guess who pops up and ruins it? Jack Sparrow. So the movie, like they it's like they cannot do anything without throwing Jack Sparrow into the mix, and it just becomes annoying after a while. Like he's there, and the more serious ones between Barbossa and another character. I don't want to spoil it for anyone watching, but there's a serious moment that kind of finishes the development cycle of Barbossa's character, but kind of closes that whole thing off in a way. Jack Sparrow's there. They can't have a serious moment without Jack Sparrow popping up. Like, just, I don't know. Like, I'm okay with him being in the movie, but he doesn't need to be the center of everything.
Well, do you think that's because they feel that the films themselves cannot succeed without Jack Sparrow just all over the film?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I would go see a pirate movie without Jack Sparrow. There's still plenty of other funny characters in there, but to me, it has to have a point to it. Like, it needs to go somewhere. Because even...
Well, I don't think they're catering to you as an audience, and I think they're catering to the fact that the movies, at least the latter ones, have really garnered a large international audience. In fact, Stranger Tides was made over $1 billion and certainly wasn't because of the domestic returns. It was definitely because it garnered over $800 million in international funds. So I think people maybe can relate a lot easier to the Jack Sparrow character. So maybe that's why he's in almost everything that you're talking about.
But why though? Why is he so, why do people overseas relate to him? Is it just because he's a Disney icon? Just he's become a Disney icon. And they just like to see him on screen?
I think so. I think so because he still appeals to a certain segment of the audience as far as they see him as a light, comedic, adventurous pirate that doesn't take things seriously and almost, wink, wink, nod, nods at the camera half the time that they can maybe relate to better than maybe a Barbossa or obviously a Will Turner or pretty much any of the major characters that have tried to ingratiate themselves into the series.
Well, here's the thing about that then. On Stranger Tides, in the first four movies, Jack Sparrow was he was a key character. They utilized his character. But in this one, they have so many stories they're trying to tell at once that eventually Jack Sparrow, after like the first 30 minutes of the movie, Jack Sparrow stops being a character and becomes more something they just throw in there to keep the audience entertained. He becomes a foil, essentially. And he doesn't do anything. He's not a character. He's just a plot device. And that's kind of what bothered me about the movie.
Well, that's very troubling indeed for, people out there. I know the movie has been getting mixed reviews all over the place, some good, some bad. So definitely is obviously a reminder that maybe the series itself is finally coming to an end, and maybe it definitely should be after the way obviously that you feel about it. And I feel about Stranger Tides as far as being a disappointment of a film, and I was trying to hope that they would rebound on this occasion, but I guess from what you're telling me at this point, that's not going to be the case. But like I said, mixed reviews all over the place. So I know there's people out there who do think positively of the film. If you have good thoughts on Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, share us your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, and Humanica Media on Facebook and Twitter as well. And Josh, speaking of Humanica Media, what have you got lined up coming soon from your great site and your great project known as Humanica Media?
We have a new Topic Apocalypse is going to be released tomorrow. I have a new Super BS. I've actually kind of fallen behind on those episodes, so I have two coming out that you'll be able to see soon. And that's and a new What About This coming at you on Monday. So stay tuned for all of that and more.
Sounds good indeed. That's Humanica Media. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, Podbean, and so many more outlets. Want to check that out indeed. Much appreciated, and all the love that Humanica Media has for everything that we do here in Pop Culture Cosmos. And in fact, we're going to play a segment on today's show of the latest Super BS Gamescast indeed. So that'll be something to look forward to. There you go, right there from us at the PCC Multiverse. Well, we've got a great episode, like I said, today. We got a lot of things we're going to talk about coming up right after the break. And then also as well, we've got, like I said, that Super BS Gamescast little snippet coming up for you. But first, we've got a great song from Chad and all the rest of the gang at Hyperschmidt. This is About to Win, and you're listening to the PCC Multiverse.
Waiting just to see the light. When did this become a fight? Struggle just to fill my lungs with air. Staring at the finish line, the darkness running out of time. I'll do what it takes to get you there.
That's About to Win from Hyperschmidt. Catch all their great songs today on YouTube.
Hey, this is Chad from Ghost Toasters, and you're listening to Pop Culture Cosmos Podcast.
Hey everyone, if you're in the Southern California area and are looking for the best way to improve your home, look no further than adding some Always Green synthetic grass today. Whether it's creating that awesome backyard that's kid and pet friendly, or that putting green to work on your golf game, Always Green provides installation and landscaping with only American-made products, such as their famous synthetic turf with advanced drainage technology and backed by a 15-year warranty that will have your yard looking great for a very long time. Always Green also installs retaining walls, custom lighting and driveways, and the most beautiful stone walkways. So if you live in the Southern California area, what are you waiting for? Financing is also available, so call for a free estimate today. 714-614-7814. That's 714-614-7814. Or stop by their store at 16772 Wanda Circle in Huntington Beach and get your home looking great with Always Green synthetic turf and putting greens. A proud sponsor of Pop Culture Cosmos, Humanikin Media, and the PCC Multiverse channels. For the latest reviews and opinions on everything pop culture, head on over to our brand new site, www.popculturecosmos.wordpress.com. All right, and we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We're back again. We truly appreciate you listening to us right here on the Podcast Radio Network or any one of our numerous downloadable options. Indeed, we truly appreciate it, including our latest and newest, the ACE Podcast Network. So we've got a lot of great things to talk about still. You know, I cannot be remiss about having a Pop Culture Cosmos show without the biggest thing to talk about right now going on for Game of Thrones fans, and that's the latest trailer that just came out. Josh, I know you've had a chance to replay and play and replay and replay and play again and again the latest trailer for Game of Thrones for, you know, previewing their season upcoming on HBO. So your thoughts on the Game of Thrones video? It looks very promising indeed, and I can't wait to see the battle begin.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. This is because it's really winding down to the last last episode. Basically, the next two seasons are going to be what we would have normally gotten with one season. But the clock is ticking. They're leading into their penultimate episode, and they're going to have to, you know, we're no longer going to get those like little side stories that are boring of just people bickering and plotting against each other. We're going to actually start to see some stuff happen, and that's exciting to me. They have the big battles raging on. The big baddies are on their way. It's a lot of stuff, man. It's intense.
For those who are not as familiar with the Game of Thrones universe, in the video, she's talking or narrating about all the sides coming down upon her as far as it's concerned, and her group, her clan. If you can really just sound off real quick on those differences from the north, the east, the south, and the west, who exactly is coming after and what are they prepared to do in order to obviously reign supreme over, you know, the entire, over all the land, as they say.
Well, all these houses are gunning for the Iron Throne. So you have Jon Snow and Sansa from Winterfell, and you have the people from the Iron Islands coming after him. And you have the Daenerys and her army coming after him. They came across the sea in the last episode. And judging by the trailers, like, she's got a pretty huge army and they're willing to, deal some damage. And then you have the, I think that's it. I think, and then, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then you have the Iron Throne, which everybody hates, the Lannisters. You have Tyrion trying to, leading Daenerys towards the ultimate goal of killing his sister and taking over the Iron Throne. So there's just a lot of stuff going on. They're literally surrounded by enemies. Meanwhile, you have the White Walkers on the other side of the wall. So it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of enemies going on, and there's the humans are all trying to fight each other while there are supernatural forces coming to kill all of them. So, you know, we'll see how that all comes together, but I'm excited about it. I'm freaking stoked.
And indeed you sound like it. And I want to ask you this, speaking of supernatural, something at the very end I know got a lot of people, as far as Game of Thrones fans, really, really excited about. And that was the inclusion of some really, really big dragons coming along with the forces you saw charging at the end. So tell us exactly what dynamic will they bring as far as, you know, who's going to be controlling these dragons as far as their forces, and just elaborate more on how important these dragons will be in the Game of Thrones series.
It's weird because they've had dragons for a while, but they haven't been an integral part of the plot until last season. But because it represents that she is really the last of the so I'm having a hard time remembering what they're called, but the last of the dragon riders, pretty much. So she's that kind of represents something. Valyria, she's the last of the Valyrians. And, you know, that's because they used to all drive dragons around. And once they fell, everyone believed the dragons were extinct. So that's kind of it kind of marks a return of magic and mythical creatures, I guess, to Westeros. So that's an important plot piece, I think, going forward. And I think that Jon Snow, this is my prediction, Jon Snow is going to end up being a Targaryen. We'll have to see. But I think that he'll probably end up being able to ride one of the dragons. But who really knows, honestly? Like, it can go anywhere right now. I know they've been saying that there's a lot of stuff they've kept close to the chest and that they're not telling us. So I'm ready to be surprised by something.
It sounds like it. And if I just want to ask one more quick question, what are you looking forward to most as a Game of Thrones fan for this upcoming season?
I'm looking forward to seeing what Jon Snow does leading his army. And I'm also curious to see what happens to Bran, because his storyline is no longer captured within the books. Like, they're completely free to do what they want with him. So I'm curious to see, you know, what is he going to become? Because in the last season, he was training with that old man who was in the tree on how to warg into animals. And we, you know, they had this massive escape scene, which involved Hodor dying. So it's, there's a lot of exciting stuff, but I am looking forward to seeing where Bran's storyline goes.
Definitely. So am I. And it's going to be a great thing to watch this season of the Game of Thrones. What are your thoughts out there on the upcoming Game of Thrones season? Have you seen the video? I'm sure you probably have by now. What are your thoughts on it? And are you as excited as we are with the upcoming season of Game of Thrones? Share us your thoughts. PopCultureCosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Humanica Media, GameSource, and PopCultureCosmos on Facebook and Twitter as well. We'll be back for more. This is the PCC Multiverse.
It's time for more sarcasm, more gloating, more pop culture BS, and ridiculous video game chat as GamerCast returns for Season 2. My name is Rob McCallum, and this year, once again, I'm joined by Mr. Glenn Stanway and my lifelong friend, Jay Bartlett. This year, the show moves to a slightly different format, favoring a more unedited adventure that lets us include more topics as we get together once a month to vent and celebrate everything going on in the gaming industry today and yesteryear. So if you like the idea of arguing with us, though we'll never be able to hear you, then you definitely want to check out GamerCast. Season 2 is really going to take it up a notch. That's GamerCast here on the PCC, the Pop Culture Cosmos, on iTunes, and on Podbean.
The guys from the Super BS Gamescast are back, talking the latest news in the gaming world.
I never understand the fascination with games that are basically single-player MMOs.
Yeah.
Even down to the, like, your pause menu is real-time.
Yeah,
so
you,
like,
can't pause?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Like, that. I mean, it's whatever. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. It looks cool. Camera's not great. The combat is pretty fun. But I think what might end up kill me for this game very early on from continuing is, one, I actually do really want to play Fire Emblem. The copy of Explorers was so cheap, and I have a collection of Final Fantasy-related goods that I like to add to every now and again.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's no, like, there doesn't seem to be progression. If there is, I haven't unlocked it. So
it's probably just equipment.
There's no level up. leveling up that I've encountered so far, and there's no job levels, which is the real disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I love. Like, one of my favorite things in most Final Fantasy games is job levels, where it's like, oh, you, like, mastered this, and then you unlock this.
Yeah.
And so I think you just unlock jobs through by doing quests or something. So.
I think it's a pure gear game, just like Monster Hunter and a bunch of other games, which is, they get old for me.
I mean, yeah, it is, the aesthetics of it are fun. It's kind of Final Fantasy-y. Sweet music so far.
Yeah. I think it was also made by like a weird team too.
Sure.
I don't think it was like the, you know, the main Square Enix RPG team.
Yeah. It's certainly not bad. I think what I wish it was, because it's like a hub town game as well.
Oh, okay. So
what I wish it was is one of the most underrated like loot RPGs of all time for the DS.
Oh.
Is Blue Dragon.
Shadow. That looks really cool. I wish they'd remake those games and put them on like consoles, or at least remake them and put them on handhelds.
Because Blue Dragon itself is a great game, super fun, super wacky, super Chrono Triggery, with the art style and the music and all that kind of stuff, and the weird kind of like technology versus rural society is all like is kind of Chrono Triggery as well. The fighting could have been a little more fast paced, but Blue Dragon's a great game. But the sequels for it, the strategy game on DS, and then the Awakened Shadow is like a hub town, like RPG. Like you go down, like delve down into a dungeon. Blue Dragon has such a cool world because it's like medieval but technological at the same time.
Yeah, steampunk.
And in a very unique way.
Yeah, it's not like traditional steampunk. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it could be steampunk because it's not really steam. It's like actual like robots and computers.
Okay, like, so kind of like the Last Age of Chrono Trigger or whatever.
I guess Dragon Ball would be the closest thing.
Well, that's what it looks like because the artist, Akira, Toyo, whatever.
Definitely similar. Yeah, but it's that was a fun game. Super addicting. I wish that series got more attention.
It was made by a company that doesn't make games anymore.
They make Terabyte, which is pretty great, but it's time for them to make something new.
Do something new. Well, maybe they're making enough money off that.
Terabyte was definitely one of the more compelling iOS games I've ever played. Yeah. And I think the reason for that is because they actually built a game that was not like, how can we fit a style that people like on a phone so that they'll buy it? It's more like, what can we do with a phone and build a game based on that? So it's like a game system that works on your phone. It's not like playing an RPG or a platformer. It's like, people like platformers, we'll put that on the phone, even though it sucks. Like, it's not that. So it's pretty cool. But, digressing, Final Fantasy Explorers, I'd give it a soft pass.
Yeah, soft pass, because I guess it's as low as it's going to go price-wise. But, what have you been playing, Jay?
So I finished Zelda.
Cool. And did you finish that last week?
I was getting close to it. I finally finished it. And what I learned about Zelda, I've been complaining, I'm like, this game's hard, but going back and fighting Ganon, like, on my second try, I realized that the game's not hard. It's just you need to figure out how to beat the bosses, and then it becomes easy.
And a lot of the bosses aren't that hard. Probably the hardest boss is the one in the camel. I don't want to, like, talk too much about it, but it's... Most of the bosses aren't that
bad.
Yeah,
they're pretty easy.
As soon as you see their weak point, it's like, boom.
As soon as you figure out how to do it, then you just go back on your second try, assuming you die, and it's just there.
Overall, what did you think of the game?
Oh, I loved it.
It's a great game.
It's really long. My only complaint is that you literally have to do the side quests and all the other stuff in order to
play. You mean the shrines?
The shrine. But I mean, like, you have to do the stuff as far as, like, awakening the fairy fountains and doing the armor upgrades.
People have beat it, obviously, without doing that stuff. But yeah, if you're just an average Joe playing, you probably need to do that stuff. But most of it's fun.
Play the game comfortably. But it's fun, and it's a beautiful looking game. So I really hope that they... I would in the future like to see a game where Link, has a little deeper, like, story arc.
I don't think you'll ever see that. I just don't think that's the point of Zelda, isn't to have, like, Link have this really in-depth story.
But, I mean, that would just that would make it more satisfying to me.
I guess. I think that whole game is just about, like, the enjoyment of, like, you know, exploring and adventuring. And that's Zelda. But anything else you've been playing?
I downloaded Legend of Tomb Raider because it was free, or Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, or...
It's not free.
No. One of the...
One of the, like, the...
Oh, you're talking about Temple of Osiris. Is that the Xbox Gold Game of the
Year? No, because I had downloaded... Tomb Raider was free, the latest one.
No, it's not.
First one. No, not right now, but it was free a while ago, and I downloaded it.
Not the newest one. Tomb Raider. What was the one that you liked a lot?
Just Tomb Raider.
It's called Tomb Raider, the reboot?
I thought it was Rise of the Tomb Raider.
That's the sequel.
Yeah, what's the reboot called? One. Just Tomb Raider?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tomb Raider.
All right, well, I played it, and...
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a great game.
Everyone kept comparing it to Uncharted, so
it is very similar to Uncharted. You don't think so?
There's more options. Like, Uncharted is very linear.
Yeah, no, it's definitely...
There are more places to go.
Yeah, it's an adventure game. It's almost... It has, the term that everyone uses, Metroidvania, you unlock much stuff, and you go through.
Tomb Raider was, I thought it was fantastic.
It's fun, yeah.
I 100%ed that game.
You guys both need to play the new one. It
reaffirmed my lack of desire to ever play an Assassin's Creed game again. It felt like it had all of the bits of a Ubisoft game, like, of exploring a map, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was, tense, wasn't annoying plot-wise.
Yeah, I'm curious what... We got to talk about some Ubisoft games today, because they had a bunch of leaks. Anything else you played for?
No, that's it.
I have not played a ton of stuff. I did delve back into Rogue Legacy. I know Dank and I have been playing. Have you ever tried it?
No.
It is an awesome indie game. I actually just decided, I totally maxed out all my skill tree, bought everything with my main character, and then I just decided... I'm going to make another character. So I've been doing that, and it's just, such a fun game.
Fun. I love that game.
It's so good.
Heck out of it back in the day.
So. I'm at the end of Prey, so I probably will beat it this week. I just didn't have too much time, and I played, a match or two of Mario Kart. Did not play Persona 5. So I've been kind of, lacking on the games front. I'm still waiting for something really cool to come to the Switch, because I want to play it.
We already talked about the bummer of Mario Kart Switch.
Yeah, right? Not having unlocks. That to me is I just don't want to play it single player. Because you unlock parts, but that's the most boring unlock.
Unlocking levels and characters is the best.
At least they didn't take away the trophies for the maps. Otherwise I wouldn't even play
GP.
What
do you get for playing the game? What's the point?
You can get cart unlocks, which just allow you to do different, stuff.
Because I remember in,
but the unlocking the original, characters.
Like, Mario Kart, the original Mario Kart and, Diddy Kong Racing or whatever, they would have, you couldn't go on to the next race until you beat them before.
Well, Diddy Kong Racing was totally awesome and dynamic. In that game, you were in an open world and then you went to the different place. Did you ever play that?
That game
is so awesome.
That was the first,
reboot
the first
that
time
series.
As a kid... When I was a little kid, I used to get headaches from playing video games too much.
Yeah, because the...
And that was the game that first started that for me.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I got that from Metroid Prime. I think it has to do with, frame rate and stuff like that.
Maybe.
I heard, And also, there's something that your eyes get used to the 3D and stuff. But Diddy Kong Racing was awesome because, it had it. And the original Mario Kart was great, too. Or Mario Kart 64 and the original one. Because, I don't think in the original one you unlocked anything. But in the more recent versions, you can unlock normally up to 12 characters. In this one, the unlocks would have been something 24 characters, but they just took that out and had
it would have been great. It's just fun, especially because I don't really read into a ton of news on a game like Mario Kart, because I know I'm going to buy it and play it.
So why? It's cool, death. Whoa, this
so
is
So it's like, it's fun. It's fun to be surprised by what's in it.
That's the Super BS Gamescast, available this week on all Humanican Media outlets.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you listening out there, and thanks so much for staying with us right here on the PCC Multiverse, one of the top 10 rated shows right here on the Podcast Radio Network. And also as well, there's some great stuff coming down the pike from Rob McCallum Films, Wine Women of Words, and also Humanican Media, as Josh will fill you in again later in the program indeed. Well, there's a major game that was going to be really shaping the landscape of the video game industry later on this holiday season that got delayed. Not too surprising considering who delayed it, and that is Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption 2 is delayed to next year. It's Rockstar, so delays have pretty much been par for the course for them, but when they do finally come out with their games such as Grand Theft Auto 5, my goodness, it's a whopping game indeed with all the detail. And even with the delays and things of that nature, it really, people just don't seem to really mind as much when a Rockstar game gets delayed as opposed to maybe some other, like let's say Electronic Arts or Activision or Ubisoft or whoever. They get sort of more upset about their games being delayed. But when a Rockstar game gets delayed, it seems to be, you know what? That's okay. We're cool with that. We're ready for you when you're ready for us. So that seems to be the idea going around. It seems to be what I'm seeing as far as comments on social media, whatnot, for the most part. And it just leads to my question to you, Josh Peterson, of Humanica Media. What's going on with Red Dead Redemption 2 in your mind? And do you have an issue with Red Dead Redemption 2 getting delayed?
No, I don't, because I think that Red Dead Redemption is one of those few, Rockstar is one of the few like developers that people aren't entirely burnt out on. You know, EA, Ubisoft, even Square Enix, where these massive games have, so far, nothing Rockstar has made, like, you know, the Grand Theft Auto, Red Dead, it hasn't been disappointing. So, I mean, if they need extra time to put this all together, then, hey, take it. Because, I mean, it just means that you're going to create a better quality game. We're not going to get something that's, you know, kind of garbage-like, like, you know, Halo 5 or another Assassin's Creed game. Like, this is different. This is something that people are actually looking forward to. And the Red Dead series is, it's not just fun, but it's like, it's, you know, it's adventurous. So, and that's a world that when the game was over, gamers still wanted to go back to it. It wasn't one of those like, hey, we got to wait another 5 years to see what happens in the story. It's one of those things where like, hey, you know, we can still play this game, but when the new Red Dead comes out, we're all for it.
And it also goes along without saying that, well, Grand Theft Auto 5 was released in 2013, and it is still one of the top-selling games each and every month on both the NPD and also the UK sales chart. Each and every month, it's just amazing the longevity and the legs that this game has had. But because Rockstar did such a brilliant job with the game, not just beyond the campaign, which, you know, love it or leave it, it was still very solid, I think, indeed. There's just so much of a great universe out there. And, you know, even for PCs, if you're modding it, just so many things to do, so many things to create. And the game never seems to not stay fresh and doesn't seem to get old at all because there's so many things to do from either a single player or a multiplayer standpoint that you can create, destruct, and just really just shape into your own world. Indeed, it's, I guess that's why that they're able to get a pass from gamers and also fans alike, is because they've just made such great products. When they do bring a product out that, like you said, Josh, it just doesn't really seem to matter because it, and they're willing to let that slide because they realize that it with Rockstar, it's going to be a huge game with so much detail, and obviously you're recreating the Old West once again and making it even more expansive than the original game. That's just really just something to look forward to indeed. With Red Dead Redemption 2, is it definitely going to be one of your marquee games to go for when it does come out sometime in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what's coming out at the time and what I'm playing, but I do plan on picking it up. It was weird for the last one. It took me a couple weeks to be interested enough to go buy it, but I'll definitely pick this one up.
For me, it was just a very, very quick buy, and I tell you what, I don't regret it in the least. I played through the entire campaign as far as followed the entire story of John Marston. I must have played at least 30, 40 hours of it at the very least, and I definitely enjoyed my experience with it. Even played multiplayer for a spell as well. So I definitely am looking forward to it. I'm not sure if it'll have the legs of GTA 5, and nor should it, or nor does it need to be an outstanding game or to be considered one of the best games of this generation, because that's an unfair comparison to make, because GTA 5 might be just one of those once in a lifetime, as far as once in a life cycle type games. And you know, I don't think we'll ever see something like GTA 5 again. I mean, Minecraft, maybe, Wii Sports, maybe, as far as longevity is concerned. But Minecraft, for maybe it's had that type of longevity, but I don't know if it's really sold continuously the way that GTA 5 has. That's up for debate. Maybe you consider World of Warcraft. I mean, there are certain games that do stand through the test of time, but and GTA 5 is definitely one of those. So if RDR2 does anything even remotely close to it, it's going to be a great success indeed. Your final thoughts on Red Dead Redemption 2? What are you looking forward to when you finally get your hands on the game?
I always like the aspect of it where you can play with your friends. You have this big open world to ride around in and do stuff with, and that was the main thing that kept bringing me back to the last one. You know, the story's interesting, but I'm more interested in the aspect of being able to sit down and play with buddies, whether online or on my couch or whatever. But that's what I'm looking forward to.
And that's different from what you were saying about Destiny 2, because Destiny 2, you were looking for more a solo experience and less of an interactive experience with other users and other players out there, correct?
Yeah, but with Destiny, it's that fact that you have to interact with other players. Like, it's kind of what the game is designed for. Whereas with Red Dead, if I don't want to play with somebody, I don't have to. I can just hop on and play the multiplayer. But, you know, even with this multiplayer, it's not connected to a broad network. So I don't have just random strangers. I can create a closed off game with just me and my friends.
Well, I know Destiny 2 is making an effort to make it more approachable for single users. I know that's something that they've clearly stated within recent weeks that they want to accomplish with Destiny 2. But like you said, RDR has already done that and done that in spades. So definitely looking for Red Dead Redemption 2. When it finally comes out, to be definitely that upper echelon of gaming already, and very comparable to almost any other game out there. Now, whether or not it reaches the heights of GTA 5, that may be too soon to tell, but you never know. What are your thoughts on Red Dead Redemption 2 getting delayed and your anticipation for the game? Is it going to wane a little bit, or are you still going to be as excited for it coming out in 2018 as you were when you first heard it was coming out, or thought it was coming out, in 2017. Let us know your thoughts, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com, also as well, Humanican Media, Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Hi, this is Josh from Ghost Toasters, and you're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
2017 is a pinnacle year for Rob McCallum Films. Coming off the heels of the internationally acclaimed and award-winning documentary Missing Mom, we're in the final stages to release Kitty, Origins and Evolutions. Check out this heavy metal biopic that explores the ups and downs of rock and roll for the women in Kitty who blazed a trail in the music industry in the face of unthinkable adversity. Kitty, Origins and Evolutions releases this year from Rob McCallum Films. 2017 is the year to set your future on fire.
And we're back with the PCC Multiverse. My name is Gerald Glassford from Pop Culture Cosmos and Game Source. We truly appreciate you listening to us out there each and every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network. And if you also get a chance, catch our number one rated show 3 months in a row on the Podcast Radio Network. And it's all because of you. It's the Pop Culture Cosmos show every Monday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific on the Podcast Radio Network. And if you can't catch our shows on the Podcast Radio Network, that's no problem. Again, you can always download our show if you're not doing that already. And that's going to be available on a numerous array of downloadable options, which includes podcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Mixcloud, Google Play, the Gunna Geek Network, the ESO Network, the Tangentbound Network, and also Overcast.fm, and our latest affiliate. And we want to say again a big hello to the Ace Podcast Network. If you just go to type in Pop Culture Cosmos on any one of those outlets, you'll be able to get our channel, which has the PCC Multiverse and the Pop Culture Cosmos show all in one place. We even throw some good Humanica Media, Rob McCallum Films, and also as well, Wine, Women, and Words podcasts on the back end of each of those podcasts every now and then, just to make sure that you're getting something really good and a bonus for downloading as well. So Josh Peterson from Humanica Media, it's been a great episode, my friend, but I want to leave on this note as we finish out with truly a tribute to, well, we might not even be here today talking on this podcast and having this Pop Culture Cosmos, PCC Multiverse type universe, if we didn't have a little movie that came out 40 years ago this week called Star Wars. Tell me, before I go ahead and elaborate on my thoughts and my love and my appreciation for the Star Wars universe, your thoughts on what many consider the instigator for the creation of the pop culture genre in and of itself, Star Wars.
It's hard for me to describe my feelings about Star Wars. I feel like, yes, they set the standard, and it's an excellent movie. It's inspired a generation. It's actually created like a bonding experience between each generation. So you have father, especially now since they're releasing new ones, you have a father taking his kid to see the new Star Wars and still going back and be able to enjoy the last Star Wars or the old trilogy. It's not just a cultural icon. It brings people together. It's created this community of fans and enthusiasts, and it's still going strong. To me, it's like how J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter keeps inspiring generations of people, even though the books have come out, 10 or 20 years ago now, almost 19 in the 90s. But Star Wars is kind of the glue for the pop culture scene, and it's even in like all the shows that we watch now, you hear constant Star Wars references. So it's become the standard basically for sci-fi. And I do think that eventually people would have come up with something that was cool like Star Wars. I think that Star Wars is really the bar that we now set for movies like that. And I think that without that, there would be less cool things out there, because if you look at a lot of writers that write science fiction, filmmakers that do stuff about space, you ask them, hey, what was your inspiration? They go, oh, Star Wars is definitely at the top of that list. So that's how I feel about it. But, obviously I want to hear your thoughts.
This, like I said, is the 40th anniversary this week of Star Wars being shown in theaters for the first time to audiences on a worldwide basis. And I just can't tell you enough. As I've told you before, and as I've said on the show before, I actually got into it a little bit later when it started appearing on network television just before the 1980 showing of Return of the Jedi. So I never got to see Star Wars in the theaters. I was 7 years old, so I really didn't have that understanding of what the Star Wars, the sensation was like at that time. I mean, I lived through it, but I can't remember. I can't mention to you anything really about what happened in 1977. I mean, I see films, I see footage, I see photos of it. I see the lines going out through the doors. I see the lines going. I mean, I can relate that in at least a little bit in 1980 when, someone took me to go see the first showing of The Empire Strikes Back in the Southern California area. And my goodness, I'll tell you what, I couldn't understand why we were going at so early in the morning. We left like at 2 or 3 in the morning to go see the first showing of the day at 10 o'clock, I believe it was. And yes, I had seen the movie. I thought it really was a really fun movie at that time. When I saw it, I'll play it on, I believe it was CBS at the point in time, like in 78-ish, 79-ish. But I really didn't have any idea about the series until I sat down for the theater at that point in time and heard, fans just throughout the theater screaming no when Darth Vader revealed the now one of movie's most infamous secrets about being Luke Skywalker's father. Sorry, spoilers. But, you know, I just hearing the gasps and the no and people screaming with such emotion and people cheering at the good scenes and cheering and clapping at the movie itself at the end and giving it a standing ovation and brought tears to my eyes when I was a kid, because I just, it at that moment, you just realize exactly how Star Wars, the universe, starts enveloping you. And, you know, I could talk to any Star Wars fan out there is what really got you started with Star Wars and that moment you became a Star Wars fan. I've just explained to me, I'm sure you have your moment in time. I talked to my girls. They can tell you exactly when they started becoming a Star Wars super fan. My wife, indeed, as well. So I can definitely tell you that friends out there that are Star Wars, you know, fanatics that collect, you know, that have mountains of collectibles up to yay high. Indeed, they can tell you exactly when they became a fan. So it's just truly inspiring that this all came from this one film that debuted 40 years ago, and just truly remarkable that this entire, like you said, pop cultural icon, and this really just became this larger than life existence that will be, at this point in time, from all appearances, be something that both you and I will see for the rest of our lives involved with, as far as, you know, from a fan status. And even after we're gone, it looks like it's good. You know, Disney, I'm told, rumors have it that they have out planned out, you know, the next 100 years of Star Wars. You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but it's pretty easy to see that Star Wars at least will live that long, if not longer, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And it just to see that the love that this series has, this saga has, and yet it still doesn't seem to be anywhere near or close to stopping, and just seems to get larger by the day, as like you said, mothers and fathers are now showing daughters and sons, and it looks like that they're garnering that love, and that's creating an even stronger bond for the Star Wars universe indeed. So definitely that's my story. Josh, I mean, when was the first time you became a Star Wars fan? Do you remember that distinct moment? I think you probably do.
Yeah, it was probably when I was a kid and I was helping my uncle move. And I found this, or I was helping my grandma move, and I found this box of my uncle's Star Wars toys. And, you know, I opened them up, started playing with them a little bit. I think I lost them. I left them there. I guess they're worth a lot of money now, so I always felt bad about that. But after that, I kind of opened the doors, and then I was asking what it was, and my cousin got all excited. He's like, "You never seen Star Wars before?" So we sat there and we watched the original trilogy, and I loved it. I haven't looked back since.
You've been hooked ever since. That's just, like I said, everybody has that Star Wars story that they can tell that's actually become a part of their lives. I mean, obviously Darth Vader, it's just so funny how the most ruthless, diabolical, evil character in the movie is actually one of the most beloved. Can you get that? What else saga really has that kind of affection for it, with all the characters, both good and bad for that matter?
It's funny you say that, because you have all these like kids books that have Darth Vader as like this cute father to Princess Leia, and it's
exactly great. I just shared a from a company that's making a Father's Day shirt, and it has you know, with the Death Star in the background, and it has little tiny Princess Leia with, you know, obviously her hair the way it's supposed to be, the Princess Leia look, and then it has holding hands with Dad, aka Darth Vader, in full uniform with a balloon thing right on his helmet, you know, trying to say, you know, appreciate that fathers and daughters, then the love and the bond between them. It's just really funny how we've created this cultural icon from Darth Vader, who's supposed to be the most ruthless bad guy, but he's now one of the most beloved figures. And in fact, I will tell you that the Emperor, who's supposed to be the most evil of them all, still, the way he was played by Ian McDiarmid, just is truly, what to me, one of the most fascinating acting performances on a series, much less just a single performance, just a series, how he continuously was able to, even in those substandard prequels, was still be able to shine with his brilliant acting skills when he was really just forming the character that we now are supposedly just so be so mad at and be so against. But Darth Vader, he's now like one of the most beloved figures in all of pop culture. So it's really funny and ironic indeed that's the case. So Star Wars definitely has left an imprint in our lives. If you want to tell us your thoughts on the Star Wars saga and what it has meant to your life, we truly would love to hear it. And we'll actually relate that on the show if you wish. Let us know, popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. Also as well, Humanica Media, Pop Culture Cosmos, and Game Source on Facebook and Twitter as well. Well, Josh, it's been a great episode indeed. But before we head on out, can you give us one last update on what's coming from Humanica Media?
Yeah, we have a new Super BS, actually a couple new episodes because I've fallen behind on my editing there. That's my bad.
Shame on you. I wish I could do the same, but I can't.
Seriously. Actually, you've heard pieces of them on the on the Pop Culture Cosmos. And
yeah, we have the latest Super BS newscast, but I know you got some more stuff coming up.
I haven't released them as a whole. Yeah, and we have a new Topicocalypse tomorrow, which you probably also heard on this show. And we have a new What About This podcast coming at you Monday night. We're recording Saturday, so you'll have some more news on that soon. And that's it.
Our sounds good indeed. That's Humanica Media on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. So check out all their great channels and deeds and just basically a lot of great stuff coming down the pike from the folks at Humanica Media. So for Josh Peterson, this is Gerald Glassford. It's another beautiful day in paradise here in the PCC multiverse. We thank you for listening. And here's hoping you have yourself a great day.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.
Tangent Bound Network. Let your voice be heard. TangentBoundNetwork.com.
Thanks so much for downloading the Pop Culture Cosmos as a special treat. We're adding a bonus episode, which starts right now. So sit back and relax as you enjoy more awesome goodness from the Pop Culture Cosmos family. And stay tuned as more great podcasts are on the way.
Thanks again for listening to us here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.
This is the first episode of Topicocalypse, where four, sometimes five, educated and or opinionated people gather around this table to discuss random topics for your entertainment and ours. Kelly, what do you got for us?
Vaccine preventable diseases, because there's a breakout of measles in Minnesota in the Somali population, and they were specifically targeted by Wakefield and some of the anti-vaccine groups. In between 2008 and now, their vaccine rates in this sub-community have dropped from 90% to 40%.
Why is that?
Because they are...
Because science.
Because Wakefield tells people that vaccines cause autism, and they don't. Wakefield's been discredited. The man doesn't have a license to practice medicine anymore.
He was the British physician, right?
Yeah.
Is this kind of what's going all over the internet right now? Like, what people are debating?
Well, I think it's popped up again because there was an outbreak in...
there's several outbreaks right now.
But there was a big hit. It was a community where 42 people got hit with measles.
That's the one we're talking about in Minnesota. And then there's one...
Minnesota.
Okay. There's one here in California with Varicella, which is also chickenpox, or which I guess would be mostly known as chickenpox. In Angora County, there is a public school that had to exclude 100 students that are not vaccinated for the next 3 months because three people in the school in different grades came up with chickenpox, and since there were three different grades, they needed to, the according to the health department, they wanted the kids that weren't vaccinated to stay home to stop the infection from spreading any further.
Okay. So, okay, so the people not vaccinating their kids, is that that's what's causing this?
Yes.
Okay. That's, yeah, I mean, because I've been kind of paying attention to this whole thing, but, like, I don't have a kid, so it's not, like, I don't have a, you know, I haven't dug too deep into it, but, so what is the, what are they doing about it? Like, what is anyone paying attention to this, to what's going on?
Yeah, there's,
saying, like, oh, wow, maybe we're wrong about this.
There's a huge movement of people trying to, it pretty much comes down to people that just don't believe in science. They just want to, it's back to the fear-mongering thing.
Yeah.
Where they think, like, the kind of people who think there's a giant conspiracy where we're keeping the cure for cancer hidden away somewhere. And I mean, our government couldn't get into an iPhone without help. And they seriously think there's some kind of giant conspiracy about vaccines.
They eventually got it.
But, like...
Yeah,
but there's always been that big movement. I don't think that's recent. There's always been that big movement of vaccination
it wasn't a big movement until the Lancet article in 2006, which was written by Wakefield and 11 other doctors. The other 11 doctors who said, "Wait, no, you know, no, take my name off of that. I don't want anything to do with it." And then Wakefield,
because he lost his license.
Well, no, Wakefield didn't lose his license immediately. It actually took him a couple years and quite a bit of. Violating his Hippocratic Oath to get his license taken away. He can't practice medicine anywhere in the world anymore. Because he's killing children, like, plain and simple. With what he's telling people, it's causing people to die.
So he's a shady doctor.
And then there's, in Australia, there's Dr. Tenpenny. She does the same kind of thing, where they...
Is there scientific evidence that shows that not vaccinating your kids is good for them? Like,
no.
Where are they getting this idea
from? There is no evidence. Like, literally, they've done meta-studies that have over 50 years and, like, 340,000 kids and how great vaccines are for their children. And they're like, no, vaccines cause autism. Or, you know, those vaccine injuries.
If you look at a lot of the anti-vaccinator, and I see it on Facebook, again, with Facebook posts people being very committed... I see a lot of them as, and this is no offense to anybody in particular, a lot of them as stay-home moms who feel that they've read an article, they found a support group about it, and they said, hey, you know what? These people believe what I believe.
Yep.
I've read, and I know what's good for my son. Everybody else is vaccinated, so why shouldn't my kids need to be vaccinated?
It's a movement born of bored internet surfing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's absolutely awful.
But movies and stuff being produced, people are spending millions of dollars to try and prove to you why you shouldn't spend millions of dollars to vaccinate your kids, but you give them millions of dollars to prove why you shouldn't. Yeah. So it's just trying to take from column A and give it to column B.
And there's been millions of dollars.
And the kids are the ones that are suffering.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, millions of dollars with the CDC who have came out and said, hey, there is no link at all.
There isn't.
But the CDC is from the government.
That's
true. Telling you. That's why.
But see,
evil government.
A big thing with what anti-vaxxers say is, well, of course doctors are pushing the shots on you because they get paid every time they do it.
Do you know how much it costs for one measles vaccine? Like $50. You know how much it costs to have somebody treated in a hospital for measles? Over $10,000.
Which is the great thing because...
Which, if you have Obamacare, is good.
That's the great thing is because they're trying to tell you can save so much money on not getting your kid vaccinated, but yet when he comes down with something that could have been prevented from a vaccination, you're spending money hand over fist, you're mortgaging your house, you're selling your kidney on the black market to fix your kid.
So a lot of these people are... So they're arguing this point, and they're putting their kids' lives on the line
just to prove that they're other people's kids. Yeah,
like if your kids are too young to be vaccinated, child's that's on chemo treatment, you can't be vaccinated because they're suppressing your immune system.
Well, here's perfect proof that it's real because a doctor lost his medical license. They wanted to silence him, so that makes it true.
Right.
That's what some anti-vaxxers will tell you. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to go with the guy that went to medical school and is telling me, hey, this is what's good for your kid. Cool, sounds good to me, thank you.
When your car's broken, you take it to a mechanic. When your lights don't work, you call an electrician.
Lights on your car, lights in your house.
You know what I mean.
Hey, like what, electrical like, technicians at dealerships, thank you, I got your back.
There we go, see, there we go. What matters is you go to an expert.
Right.
So why would you take your car to a mechanic, but then when it comes to something, you know, life or death? No, I'm going to Google that. And, you know, Google said that I saw a meme and vaccines are bad. Hey, they have aluminum in them. And
doctor, I broke my arm. Can you fix that? Yeah, you know, I can give you a shot to take care of, you know, the rusty nail that you fell on. No, just fix the arm.
Well, there's a little girl in Australia right now who is in the hospital for tetanus. Because she got a cut on her arm and her parents didn't get her tetanus shot.
It's not like there's a cure for that.
Oh, wait.
There isn't a cure.
How's that polio going? Oh, wait.
See, to me, this is the same thing with, like, holistic medicines. Yes.
Which is also bullshit.
They
Pardon, sorry.
Yeah, yeah no. I mean,
it's fine. You're good.
Because people are like, oh, I was allergic to this, and then I went to see this holistic doctor who made me sniff in burning leaves or something, and now I'm fine. It's just like...
Oh, they were checking you for the plague.
Wait, yeah. What leaf? Wait a minute, what?
I don't know. Yeah. It's just... Yeah, it's like...
Did he have a long mask with the nose on it?
They just come up with, like, these weird things.
Do you know the whole homeopathy thing? The more diluted something gets, the stronger it is? Like, it's absolutely absurd. Like,
no, that's not true. At least not in car cleaning products.
Yeah, right?
But that's what they tell... Like, jeez. Literally, when you look... It's ridiculous. They sell you sugar pills and say it's medicine, and it's not.
Because I talked to someone who said... They were like, yeah, I was bipolar, but then I went to see a holistic doctor, and he gave me a massage, and now I'm not bipolar anymore. And I was like, that...
That medicine's really...
not how any of that works.
Not how that's not how any of this works.
Yeah. Well, he gave me a massage and a prescription. Yeah. Do you take your prescription? Well, yeah. Well, that's why you don't have bipolar.
No, it's the massage.
Yeah. He told me to come back every week.
But they charge... Yeah, and they charge you all this money to, like...
Because it's not covered by your insurance.
Chew on a stick. Like,
it's the same people that tell you...
Chew on a stick.
It's the same people that are out there saying, oh, you know, chemo's going to kill you. Drink this juice and it's going to, you know, cure your cancer.
Are you really willing to put your life on the line?
But, you know, I can...
But people are, and people are dying.
But I can understand people's fear of doctors. I mean, at one time, it was thought that if you bleed your blood, you'll feel better. And then look what happened to George Washington.
Okay, but...
Kelly, no.
Yes, George Washington bled to death.
It is...
Pre-vax. See? He didn't get vaccinated. There it is.
Exactly. If he would have been vaccinated, he wouldn't have died. There we go. No. It does, but what I'm saying is, I'm not telling you to blindly trust your doctor. I'm saying, look at the evidence. There is literally thousands and thousands and thousands of studies saying, hey, this is, you know, these are going to keep your kids from getting sick. This is how we kill cancer.
There's theories on how we kill cancer. Usually it's the chemo that gets you.
But I did the research and I saw that 1,000 people liked this one article, so it has to be right.
So have you seen on social media the comment, reading the comment section of some of these people's like posts?
It's the best.
No, I'm not a doctor. This is just what I feel is best for my kids, so you should feel the same way. And how dare you comment on my Facebook page against something I said? Really?
Did you just disagree with me?
Yeah, and then people are surprised. Blocked. There's people disagreeing.
it's human nature.
Again, it goes back to what you were talking about with social media. People don't even read something; they just and they just know everything. And was it Robert? Was it De Niro that came out with a film that was supposed to come out last year?
It was Vax.
That shit was off of the shelves so quick because they pulled it He was catching so much shit for it.
Well, because he came out and he was originally saying that he thinks that both sides of the story need to be
heard.
Because
they have
it's
been
either
heard.
His son or his grandson, I'm not sure, but he has a young male relative that has autism. So he, for some reason, doesn't understand how autism works. So he thinks that people need to hear that vaccines might cause autism, but they don't.
Don't you hear that, like, it would be evidence enough, though, that... Even before people started vaccinating, like, people were getting autism. Like,
but see, here's,
we didn't know what it was.
But
see,
ADHD, it was hyperactive.
But that's where we come back to mental health. So the way we used to deal with mental health was extremely disturbing. We would lock these people into
asylums,
and you know, some of the way to cure mental illness was whipping them, shock therapy, tying them in a straitjacket, leaving them, lobotomies, wrapping you in really tight, wet sheets. So was autism there? Yeah, it was just called something different. When Johnny was a little bit different and was embarrassing the family, Johnny went and lived in the asylum. So
and nobody talked about
Johnny. And who the hell knows how many cases there actually were and if it was vaccinations that caused it. I mean, here's the perfect point. Medicine is constantly evolving. I mean, we went from treating mental illness and asylums to, you know, that would be considered heinous acts of crime, but because it was medicine, it was acceptable.
But
we went from doing that. We got rid of that. Now we throw pills at things. But now we're here with what the best that we have. You know, if we don't vaccinate our children, okay, well, shit. There's going to be an outbreak of, you know, look at Disneyland. There was the outbreak of measles.
Yeah.
So if you don't vaccinate, it's going to spread. So what's the alternative? If you want to say you're anti-vax, same with PETA. I here we are. If you want to say you're anti-vax, give me a fucking solution to fix the problem. Because if we don't vaccinate...
Oh, no, but they don't care about anybody else. Literally, you can see where these people are saying, well, my kid's not sick, so I don't see why, you know.
Damn it, you people have the American Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, whatever you'll call it. You get it for free.
This is totally a first world problem. This is not a problem they have in developing countries. Well, because, no, there's still kids dying from polio in India. Well, there's still people that
measles.
Are...
And measles.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, these are still
when we're vaccinating kids in Africa, it's not like... I mean, they just line up and they get what's shot in their arm. So, I mean...
Parents, exactly. They line up hours and days in the burning sun to get their kids vaccinated. And people hear, no, I'm sorry. You know, little Jimmy doesn't need a vaccine. He'll be fine.
We'll
give him some sugar water and some jalapeno smoothies or something.
I don't understand. Because, of course, they're going to say, hey, my kid is fine. But if their kid hasn't been exposed to whatever can cause the measles or you know whatever virus you can get or chicken pox or something.
You know, there are actually people out there that are, it's not that they're anti-vax. It's just this crazy
pro-disease.
No. Yeah. Their parents did it to them. So what they'll do is their kids aren't vaccinated for chicken pox. They'll take their kids to somewhere in their community that has chicken pox and they'll expose them.
Just so they can
get chicken pox.
And get it out of the way. Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
Absolutely. It's a huge thing.
Welcome to America, man.
That's a big thing in Australia, too.
Most countries are like, I don't want it. Here, Johnny.
Here, why don't you go play over at his house? But he hasn't been in school in like a week. He's sick.
It's fine.
Sure you touch those weird bumps on his arm.
Just make sure you greet him with a hug and
big hugs. Rub each other, you know, not that way. But
you don't want adult chicken pox.
Yeah,
but the moment you get chicken pox, you can get the shingles.
Exactly, it's totally just intuitive.
We look up on WebMD. I mean, I've even, you know, for like
minor things. I'm dying.
No matter what you WebMD, look up on WebMD.
You're going to have pop-ups on. You're going to be like, oh, hey, I have a irritated skin and the flu. I'm sorry, you don't have the plague.
Yeah. It's like this big, like, bulbous, you know, thing on the side of your head.
It's not the
You know, I was going to come in, but WebMD said it could just be a migraine. What?
Look, it says because I have irritated. It's because you're scratching it. Stop.
I think that's, you know, that's why they have the nurses.
It hurts when I do this. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. It hurts when I touch my finger right here. Well, don't touch your finger there. It's broken.
There's an open sore right there, okay? I get it. All right. This is Topicocalypse, where four, sometimes five, educated or opinionated people gather on this table to discuss random topics for your amusement and ours. Daniel, what do you got for us?
Let's talk about how people say you shouldn't give your children electronics like an iPad.
Nonsense.
As my 4-year-old is watching an iPad right now.
They're the best babysitters.
There's that, but everyone says it's going to kill their imagination. I can speak from experience with my daughter that her imagination exploded the second she started watching those stupid unboxing videos on YouTube.
Seriously.
Well, I mean, they drive us...
What's stupid about them?
I'm sorry, baby. Yeah, stupid's a bad word. I'm sorry.
No, that's I watch unboxing videos.
But you know what I mean?
Stuff I'll never be able to afford.
Accountability.
Thanks, Gwen. Love you.
Super cool video.
But it's like, some of the stuff is like, I'm watching it and like it's driving me crazy, but she loves it. And she started doing her own. Like, all of a sudden, her Barbies and her toys started having conversations. And the stuff that she comes up with is just so amazing.
So it had the reverse effect where it opened her imagination.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, Like, I used to pretend to be a superhero, but I didn't know what a superhero was until I saw it on television. Until I saw,
and then you're just like, sitting there like, man, I feel like a dummy because that's not even what a superhero looks like in my head.
Yeah,
but you know, I don't think technology is necessarily a bad thing. No. I think it's a great thing. I think, you know, it should be limited. I think, like,
yeah, as long as you moderate it, yeah.
Yeah, like,
but
my,
that's anything.
But that's great. I mean, Abram, you know, my son, 8 years old, we'll go to Disneyland all the time, and, you know, he'll sit there and he'll watch YouTube, and I'm just sitting there, I'm like, man, how does he watch that all day? He's watching Minecraft videos, mm-hmm. and, you know, he came along this one video, we're standing in line for Soarin', and he's like, hey, Dad, did you know when the engineers were building this ride, they couldn't figure out how to build it? And I'm like, oh, wow, really? And he's like, yeah, I was watching a YouTube video. This guy, he was working on the ride, and they were about to scrap the project, and he was at his family's house for Thanksgiving.
And he used the toy.
And he pulled out an Erector set and just built it in his garage, and they figured out the mechanism to help move the ride. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like,
that's
cool. I didn't know that. Right on. You can
literally learn anything on YouTube. Like,
you can learn how to tie a noose on YouTube.
Yeah.
I can tie a noose. 90% of what I do with film and video, like, I learn from YouTube.
I mean, another great example of YouTube is you can go on there and watch how to vaccinate your children. So they don't
full
die from disease.
Bam!
But you can also get some really, really dumb videos.
Yeah, stay
on
away
YouTube.
From the dumb videos.
Like, I'm sorry.
But I think,
like, the Illuminati is going to rule the world. Or something.
Not my, the conspiracy
my,
videos.
My nephew, Jeremy, Morgan's kid.
Yeah.
You know, he plays. Oh, he plays on. He'll play on his.
Not Morgan's.
He calls
not
him,
Morgan's kid.
Yeah,
definitely not Morgan's.
He calls
kid.
It yellow, but he plays on his iPad. And is, dude, think. He's what, 2.5?
He's going to be 3 soon.
He's going to be 3 in June.
Yeah.
And he's got his colors down, and it's from watching videos on his iPad. It's astonishing. It's great stuff.
She's better at, you know, her iPad than my parents are, who bought the iPad for us, which we all knew where it was really going. But, and it's just like, we put games on there for her, and then she even gets tired of it after a while. It's like, do you want to play? Like, I'll ask you, no, I don't want to play. Well, I kind of like it too, so I can do some stuff around, and I can watch my own shows instead, because now you want to watch other shows on TV that drive me to want to
Nobody
drink.
Wants to watch Paw Patrol.
Yeah, I love Paw Patrol. That's my favorite show ever. What are you talking about? It's so great. Dogs that can talk, but cats can't.
For Abram, it was Caillou.
Oh,
jeez.
Hey, it's Caillou. Now I, you know,
there was another white bald kid. He was like, hey, it's me.
I saw, you know what, I saw that on Netflix. I saw that on Netflix. I'm like, Abram, look, you want to watch Caillou? No, I don't want to watch that. What's that? I'm like, dude, you used to watch it as a little kid.
Caillou, no, I didn't. Is the ugliest child on any cartoon I have ever seen.
Oh, you have not seen a lot of other shows, amigo.
Yeah.
Do some research. Do your research before you start watching.
Yeah, Google that, okay?
Okay.
So do you,
get on the Google.
Do you ever think as a society we'll get to the point, and I've talked to my wife about this, where kids will get out of, you know, it'll be technology pushed at school. You know, the kids will have iPads to write on instead mm-hmm. of paper. You know, I've talked to Kelly about this, and she thinks it's, you know, it's not that great of an idea.
Well, I just worry that we're approaching a post-literacy era. Like, we're coming to a point where people, like we were talking about earlier, people aren't reading the articles. People want to watch little clips
well,
of what
I have,
happened.
I
people
have
don't
friends
wanna
that are teachers, and they're failing kids on English papers because they're writing in text. They're shorthanding it. No. Well, why'd you film it? That's how I talk to my friends. Well, your friends,
like, they're putting
morons.
Like, they're putting raffle and
yeah. Or
oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, but like, instead of thanks or thank you, it's THNX or THX. Why? No.
Yeah, my iPhone won't let me do that. It just throws it in there for me.
Autocorrect
is terrible sometimes.
It creates some really awkward situations.
I never said I'm trying to duck and get out of this ducking place. I'm telling you. I think where you're going with that is, I think it's going to come to a point where they have so much technology in school, the kids, you know, kids are going to want to come home and actually go outside and play now because they're tired. There's nothing, you know, they get it all the time now.
That's a good point.
I think, but you know,
the thing is you can't let your kids go out. Like, when we were kids, we'd go outside and play, and you know, mom wasn't standing outside watching everything we did.
Right.
We were playing with our friends a couple houses down.
Right.
If your mom wanted to know where you were, she'd look for whose house your bicycle was in front of.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the same thing.
But now,
you just say, hey, mom, I'm going to so-and-so's house. Okay, be home by the time the lights come on.
Yeah, dinner.
Okay.
We'll be home by dinner. We're eating at 5.
But it's a different time now because, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
With the way the neighborhoods are nowadays, because so much has been decriminalized.
We live in, like, the quietest, most, like...
Well, see, yeah, we got lucky. Cypress is great. And we live on the Cypress Garden Grove
West Garden Grove border right there.
I don't know West Garden Grove, Sonic Philly.
Well, if you go, so and you know of all the crap that happens over there.
Oh yes, get on the neighborhood watch page.
Oh,
on
all the time.
We'll see.
Best ever.
Yesterday it was somebody threw their couch out and there was a homeless guy defecating on it.
Yes, I saw the post too.
But the crazy thing is you don't hear about that in Cyprus, and I don't know why, but luckily we're on the Cyprus end, and anytime we call, it's usually Cyprus that shows up. Sometimes you'll see Garden Grove, but literally, if they show up,
from Garden Grove, just saying.
Well, they only got one guy that patrols around here.
Here's
how interesting it is. They have that Chapman Sports Park that's up here.
Yeah.
There was people getting robbed during the Saturday day soccer games. The guy jumped because we live on the backside of Patton, so our backyard's Patton Elementary.
Right.
This guy jumped the fence, ran away from Chapman Park, which is not, ran through the back schoolyard, which is Patton. He threw his backpack into somebody's backyard, jumped the fence, and Garden Grove PD stopped him. They didn't arrest him. They gave him a ticket.
No, he was taken in and then released.
Oh, so he was taken in and released. This guy had the cojones to go around knocking on doors, asking if he could grab the backpack.
Yeah, he knocked
on our door. Couldn't remember whose it was, so he knocked on all of our doors. Hey, can I look in your backyard for a backpack I threw?
Total, tattoos all over his face.
Yeah, I'll get right on that
one.
Sure, come in.
Sketching on your
doorstep. Hold this knife for me,
but
too,
we've gotten to a point where it's easier for, and it, especially for me, I know it's easier if my kid's in his room playing on YouTube.
Exactly.
Because A, I can get crap done. And B, I don't trust him to go outside because I don't know who the hell's out there.
Exactly.
I mean, when I grew up, I lived on a cul-de-sac in Stanton. And dude, we were out playing until the sun, the streetlights came on.
I grew up on a regular street in Hawthorne, and I was fine. Having her out front, we have a patio at our apartment, a front patio. Daddy, can I go? Go in the backyard instead.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do you think that the argument that people are bringing up here is that it's not that they don't know what they're arguing about? Is it that the kids are spending too much time on electronics, or that it's parents not wanting to pay attention to their kids?
I think a lot of it comes down to what are you letting your kids do on the iPads or game? For mine, it's YouTube and watching how-to videos.
Yeah, see, with her...
For me, I don't have a problem with that.
I had her on regular YouTube, and all of a sudden she goes from a show where they pretend baking to use the... Then the next show was Easy Bake Oven. Three shows later, it was how to make lobster bisque soup or something like that. I'm like, and it's like an adult show. I'm like, okay, now all of a sudden I start freaking out. Like, okay, what could come next? Because I don't know how YouTube does their algorithms, but there's certain times where it'll jump from one thing to something that's completely out of the spectrum.
So I walked into Abram's room one time, and it was whatever he was watching. It swore, and I'm like, what the heck is that? Well, turn that off.
And so then I get YouTube Kids. I'm like, all right, perfect. So they had that app, put that on there. And I was like, okay, it's all kid stuff. All of a sudden, my wife comes to me, she goes, they're talking about someone pooping on someone. I'm like, what? Granted, it's seagulls, but I'm like, okay. So then I go into YouTube Kids now. I'm like, all right. And then I start taking off age restrictions, start dropping down the age restrictions to where it's like, okay, now she can't watch those anymore. And then you get the weird, the freaks and weirdos that are actually dressing up as Spider-Man or Anna and Elsa. And they're actually having shows where they're actually looking up people's dresses and stuff like that, and it's a lot of sexual connotation to it, and they're getting through YouTube's algorithms because it's Spider-Man, it's Anna and Elsa, it's role play.
The way that they're tagging it, exactly. And what they're naming
that's horrible.
Yeah.
And so it's like now I'm like,
I just hooked mine to my account, so whatever he watches, it's on my account. So I just go to the history and I can see
exactly.
I can keep an eye. That's what I had to do.
She's connected on my Gmail, so I'm like, which is my account. I'm like, okay, so
we can watch.
I can go in on her YouTube Kids. I can go in from my account and just go no, no, and no. Like I changed her whole home screen. The search, she doesn't have to do the search, but anything that comes up on the home screen is stuff that she for her age group.
Yeah. But it does come down to a slippery slope because now there's times where I try to get my son to do something and it's I'm just gonna watch YouTube. And it wants to take up a majority of it. Say, hey Abram, why don't you come out and let's go do this? And, I just want to stay at home. Which is nice because if me and Kelly want to go to dinner, it's like, okay, cool. You don't want to go to dinner? Hey, I get to save a few bucks and not have to watch you complain about being hungry.
Yeah.
Or then there's the opposite. You know, it's like with Gwen. It's like, hey, do you want to watch your iPad? No. And it's like arguing with her to watch it every once in a while. Because I'm like, I'd like to watch a regular show, you know, on TV. Or I've got dishes to do. Or, you know, I've got stuff to clean up around the house. Just go watch your iPad. And so it's just like, you know, and then there's the excuse. And then, you know, it's not an excuse, but it's like a thought process of she's at school all day running around. Because I've seen what she does. Apparently, obviously, she's hurt. She just got pushed off a slide. To where it's like, okay, you know what? When she wants to watch, it's like, okay, you know what? You've been wound up all day. It calms her down, and she's ready to take on the rest of the afternoon, rest of the evening.
You know, and the same with Abram at school. Like, I mean, I go to work all day. He goes to school all day. When I get home, I want to do more of the same crap of run around. I want to chill back. I want to catch up on my shows or whatever I've been trying to read. So that's a good point, too, is, you know, that's their time.
They can unwind.
Time. And, you know, they're growing up in a perfect age because technology we've seen over the last 5 years, you know, forget 10 years, even over the last 2 years, it's jumped so much. It's getting so fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these kids are in the right era to where they're going to keep up with that technology.
And it's going
to
help them out in their future. Yeah, because
you need to know technology to get a job, pretty much. Like, all the future is in, they say that the future is in video content, and it's kind of, you know.
You know, you used to watch these, like, movies and shows about the future, and it's like, oh, you go into a library, and it's like a hologram that brings you up, like, the digital copy of the book. And there's no actual books in a library. I wonder if one day we'll come to that.
Absolutely, you'll have iPads just sitting on the wall. Here you go. You can.
But then, they won't even have
physical libraries. It's going to be entirely.
But then
web-based libraries. You won't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But then, what are people going to complain about? Because we're not chopping trees down to make books.
I personally
about vaccinating your kids.
Yeah.
No, we're going to get past.
Kids.
We're going to get.
Vaccinate your damn kids.
No. We're going to get past that point because you'll
and
never
let them watch
have
YouTube.
To.
It's good for
no, no, no. You'll never have to leave your house to do anything. So you're just inside all the time, not around.
But
people.
Then, how will I go out there and murder a seal because there's too many seals, so PETA can come find me?
This is true. And how
you
will
build a robot to go do it for you?
Oh,
you get the Dodge Demon.
There it is.
And the robot drives the Dodge Demon out of your house in 2040 because it's been sitting there. Waiting for auction,
baby seals.
And that's
maybe
what
that will be Hennessy's Dodge name is the Hennessy Seal Killer.
There you go.
There it is. See, Hennessy, full circle.
Hennessy will let you have that for $1,000.
Yes,
with the money with your money you're making just to sell tires, well, you can make that back.
But does it kill seals for another $2,000? It'll kill anything.
Put like a cow catcher on the front.
All right. Well, this has been episode one of Topicocalypse. Thank you for joining us. Catch us on YouTube, Facebook, Humanican Media.
Sorry we wasted your night.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry we wasted your night with some very educational information, all right?
Yeah.
Vaccinate kids.
And opinionated, too.
Vaccinations and baby seal killing. It's just all kinds of good stuff. All right. Later.